It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Oh, sometimes the promos just play themselves there, Phil. How are you there, the Mayor of Auckland, Phil Goff?
Mikey, I'm good, thank you, mate. And yourself? It's, you must be starting to turn your thoughts towards this time next week when you won't be behind the microphone, but you might be lying on a beach somewhere.
Well, what I'll be doing is trying to impress the dickens out of my son.
Look at this.
Peyton, no, over here. Look, here's the thing. This is the one, and then I'll just end up playing with them all. It's the season to be jolly.
Yeah, well, it is, but I got to say, there's a sadder side to it too. And I was I went up to the Auckland City Mission yesterday. We'd collected a whole lot of presents. The staff at Auckland Council were incredibly generous. We had a giving tree, and we took it. We took a truckload up, actually, literally, and just to see a whole lot of people there that. For whom, you know, you say Merry Christmas, and yet you know that this is not a time of great joy for them. It's a time when they wonder what they're going to give their kids, how they're going to get through the Christmas season. And, you know, sorry to put a dampener on your program.
It's really important.
It was quite moving. People driving up Hobson Street will see a long queue of people outside the Auckland City Mission who do a fantastic job. And it's just a time to remember that when we're having, you know, enjoying ourselves with our friends and our family, not everybody gets that same chance. So it's been really good to try to give something so that those kids from those families have something that they can look forward to on Christmas Day as well. And I think, you know, that's part of what we should be doing at Christmas as well.
Yeah, good on you and the council for that. I think too that this has been a particularly standout year for watching the escalation of poverty, or I guess poverty coming to the fore, as it were, in people's minds. And if you can't give some food or some money or anything for Christmas to those less fortunate, then at least I think perhaps you could just offer them your thoughts for the upcoming years ahead. Because once Christmas is over, it doesn't stop there. It's not, the next day they've still got nowhere to live.
Yeah,
and the next day they'll still be dealing with whatever it is that has got them to where they are at the moment, and I think that, you know, everyone's become very aware of it this year. I think next year is, if you really give a toss about it, I don't mean you, but I'm saying just in general, everyone is to keep caring and care a little bit more and try and all figure out, like together, all figure out how it's got to this stage and avoid it getting any worse.
And how we can deal with it. I mean, it's quite interesting. I've got a meeting at 9 o'clock, and it's with all of the Housing First people from across the city. There's six different groups that are involved. And I'm just looking at, in front of me at the moment, of the chart of what we've been able to do over the last 7 months. And we've got 288 people from being homeless into long-term homes.
That's amazing.
That's great. And, you know, we'll build that up. I think our goal is by next year to get that up to 478 or something thereabouts. But actually, we can do three or four times that well. And I think government will come to the party on this. Hey, we can make a difference. And give some of those people a home where once they've got a home, you can start to address, you know, the other problems, the other challenges in their life.
What about the fact that once you get those 400 or so people into homes, you know, you turn around and, well, there's 800 in their place.
Yeah, it's not as bad.
How do we? Is that, I mean, it's not that bad, but you know what I mean? As quickly as we can, you know, we can try and fix things for some people. There was more. You know, we're going to have more people living in Auckland than ever before. We're going to have more people coming into Auckland than ever before. The difficulties are going to be more than ever before.
Yeah.
Surely. You know?
Yeah. It's not a static situation where you say, okay, there's three to 400 people homeless in the within 5 kilometres of the Sky Tower, and when we've hosted those 500, everything will be fine because there'll be new people that come in with new problems, etc. You know, sometimes it's mental health, sometimes it's drug or alcohol, sometimes it's breakdown in relationships, sometimes it's kids that have just broken up with their parents and they're out in the street. So,
or God forbid, a situation like Christchurch, where suddenly the whole the whole city, no matter what plans you had in place and no matter how you saw your future, it all changed. All
everything changed, and we're hoping like hell Auckland, it's a tsunami or a volcano rather than an earthquake. But
it's not going to be a volcano. We're only the only city in the world on a volcanic plateau.
There's no, we've never had volcanic activity around the city, have we?
We laugh now, Phil.
I just know, I was just thinking back, gosh, what was it, 2001 Boxing Day when the tsunami hit, I was Minister of Foreign Affairs at the time and blew away my, all my plans for that that summer. But going out and looking at what a tsunami does to a community, and that was pretty horrific. So
I'm constantly amazed. I look at the footage, some of that footage from the Japanese tsunami, and I just go, how did you even get up on the next day and go, right, here's what we have to do? I don't know if New Zealand would have that in them.
Japanese have got it pretty down to a fine art, not so much on dealing with their nuclear issue, because that wasn't done as they would have wanted to have done it. But for earthquakes and that, they build to the standard. Yeah. They have quick recovery.
I just saw some of the footage and just was like, wow, how do you wake up in the morning and go, right, first things first. Get rid of this, six-story high pile of,
Look, I don't know how we got onto such a gloomy start to a pre-Christmas.
I believe you turned it into gloom.
It's my fault. Hey, I did go up on the Eagle helicopter.
You making all that noise again?
I've got to say, they've got this camera on board that you can see 3 or 4 kilometres away quite clearly. And if you are going to sunbathe out in your backyard, Mike, can you please put some clothes on, mate?
What do you think I'm doing that for? I'm sitting there going, 38 crosses over our house, low level. I'm going to sit out. I'm going to expose myself up to that camera.
Yeah, it was quite interesting because
quite interesting.
When we were up there, the first one was a robbery in Mount Eden, so we were trying to track down the person that had left the scene of the crime, and then there was a domestic incident out in my old patch of Mount Roskill. And, we're about probably 800 or 900 feet up, but we could see right down into the backyard of this house where this guy was throwing I presume it was his partner's possession out the door and threatening her. And it was almost like you were standing in the backyard looking at it. But we were able to call in immediately ground police forces to deal with a situation that potentially could have turned violent if we weren't there. And I was sitting there thinking, I should have Mikey next to me so he can see that his house, there is actually a good purpose for why the helicopter is up there.
How long did you sit around that house? Jugga, 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 jugga. Like, once you'd identified that and the ground cops were there, did you just go away then?
Yeah, we were probably over the house for about 4 or 5 minutes. But that when you're on the ground, that seems like a heck of a long time. The sort of thing, I was talking to them and they said, yeah, they do get a lot of complaints in about the noise. But they also said in the last 2 months they were successful in locating over 700 offenders and a number of people that, they do the missing persons thing, where people sometimes have dementia and they go missing, etc. Mm. So that's not a bad track record over an 8-week period to locate successfully 700 alleged offenders.
I'll take my hat off to you for going to extraordinary lengths to calm down my rant 1 week about helicopters. Hey, so let's talk about housing again. I'll just get back to that because there is a bit of a concept going on. The University of Auckland's Ella Arbery says Auckland's got to look to its past if it wants to solve its housing problems, which is something like I've thought about this too in the past. Well, I mean, our housing problems in Auckland and across the country, but Auckland especially because it seems to be it's going off so much, we've had rubbish houses pretty much for ages. Ever since, she's saying that ever since families were forced into overcrowded and unhealthy housing. Right back in the 1900s, and then World War One, influenza epidemic, the depression, we've never really been able to get the housing situation in Auckland, right? You know, and then that the massive, great, big ingrown toenail that is the leaky buildings thing, which I think we still underestimate how much of a drain that was on the country.
It will be
for years and years and years and years to come.
Yeah,
you know?
They reckon the leaky buildings could have cost New Zealand $20 billion. So shall I say that really slowly? $20 billion.
Chuck that with a whole bunch of white collar fraud criminals from personal and banking situations, and then, oh god,
I know here in Auckland
we've got a dollar left.
Yeah, the Auckland Council, and that means all of us, we've had to pick up about $600 million worth of repair work because we're often the last person left standing. The company that made the product and the architect that designed it and the people that constructed it, they've all long gone and become liquidated. And then council is the last one left standing. They say, well, why did you give them a permit? So we're looking at a whole lot of things there. I mean, I just think we were crazy. We were building with materials and in a style that might have worked in a Mediterranean climate, but not in the climate that we have in Auckland. But just going back to what you said before about the history of Auckland, I was down in Myers Park the other day, and I was looking at a you know, what the history of that place used to be. And if you go back to the beginning of the last century, I mean, that was slum, ghetto, people living in appalling conditions, which is why in the early 1900s they first developed that concept of having some public housing, and then again in the 1930s.
This is what Ella Arbery says, saying as well, that in August of 1939, the New Zealand Truth stated that New Zealand children had no chance of remaining healthy while living in such damp and crowded conditions. And were people saying that like this year?
Yeah. The difference is that since 1939, our life expectancy is about 15 or 16 years longer than it would have been if we were living at that time.
But you still
have in Auckland far too many respiratory illnesses. Was it 20 or 30,000 kids a year admitted with respiratory illnesses that came from living in cold, damp, unhealthy homes? And that's why I think the current government's talking about creating a warrant of fitness system for homes so that we can improve it. That's why we've got to have this program of more social housing being built. Because, look, you might think it's only a housing problem. It's not. It's a health problem. It's an education problem. It's a broader social problem. However, do kids get on in life if they get a rotten start in life and rotten housing conditions? And if you can fix the housing problem, you can do a lot to cope with the preventative side of the health problem that we have in our society. If you give kids stable homes instead of mum and dad shifting three or four times every 2 years, then they've got a better chance of settling down in school and being able to improve their education and all those sort of things. So housing is really the foundation for doing so much to improve the nature of our society. And, of course, in trying to create a more inclusive society where everybody gets a fair go in life.
Kauri dieback disease, Phil, it came a galumphing in a couple of weeks ago, and suddenly the whole country now knows what it is. Did the council drop the ball on this, or did you guys, timely in your response?
No, we didn't drop the ball, but what the study earlier this year showed that in the last 5 years in the Waitakere Ranges, it went from affecting 8% of trees to 20%.
We're in crisis mode now.
We are in crisis mode. So we're closing a lot of the tracks. If we try to close all of the tracks, one, we can't enforce it, and two, people will go in. With or without the right to be there, and they won't go through hygiene stations where they're cleaning their boots. They won't go over properly, boardwalked, tracks, because in winter it's the mud on your boots that spread the disease. So trying to keep people out altogether wasn't the answer. But what I'm putting out, in fact, I'm working on it at the moment, there'll be a consultation document going out to every Aucklander saying, okay, we want to do a whole lot more on on not just calorie dieback, but
how does it go? How do you send will we go to the letterbox and go, "Hey, Mom, there's a consultation document here from the council."
Come on, everyone,
gather around.
And I want more than 1 in 10 of you to read it, please.
Yeah, yeah.
But what we're proposing is to have a targeted rate so that we can protect our natural environment. It's either going to be about 20 cents a week or 50 cents a week, and we can do a whole lot more, and we can reduce the chance of the spread of colliery dieback from, you know, an 80% chance on what we're doing at the moment to maybe a 20% chance, because we'll be investing a whole lot more in preventative action to stop it spreading. The other big worry we've got, though, and the harder one to deal with, is this myrtle rust. It's now been found in pahutukawa trees on public land in Auckland, and that's spread by wind, and you just can't...
On public land in Auckland?
Yeah, on pahutukawa trees. And, you know, that could devastate not only your Fiji and guava trees, but, you know, all of our pahutukawa trees, which, you know, at this time of the year make this such a fantastic city.
Make life worth living is what they do. Phil, the beginning of the year when we first started talking, it was all about sewage, it was all about water. Are we still caring about that at all?
Yep, absolutely. That's also in the consultation document.
A
targeted rate on water quality. What our plan is to do within 10 years, what we weren't going to be able to achieve for 30 years, and that's what we want to do, is stop raw sewage, albeit in dilute form, overflowing into our streams and onto our beaches every time it rains in the city. So we will be starting the construction in just over the year of a major thing called the Central Interceptor. We will be able...
Still going with that? Yep, cool. Yep.
Once we get that in place, if Aucklanders are prepared to fund that, we can knock the wastewater overflows back by at least 80-85%, and probably more. And it's not just the Central Interceptor. We're building massive stormwater storage tanks around the city. We're separating stormwater from going into our wastewater system. You go up Franklin Road and you'll see, you know, all the roadworks that we've been doing area.
All the roadworks. What about a round of applause for the roadworks in the
room? Yeah. You can't make omelets without breaking eggs. That's the way it goes, mate. But look, we can make a real difference for our city. And what our consultation document says, I'll keep the rates, down to a low general average, probably 2.5%. But we need your assistance through a targeted rate, targeted at water quality, targeted at protecting our natural environment from things like colliery dieback. It's not going to cost a hell of a lot. The wastewater one will cost about $1.27 a week for the average household. The colliery dieback, you've got two options. You've got a 20 cents a week option or a 47 cents a week option.
Sure.
And if you give us the go-ahead, we will take the action. It's your money we're spending, so we're consulting with you about what we're doing. But with a targeted rate, you'll know exactly what you're paying that targeted rate for, and it's not going to be used on anything other than the purpose for which that rate is set up.
Phil Goff.
We can transform Auckland.
Phil Goff, Mayor of Auckland, you've got a meeting in about 30 seconds, if I'm not mistaken. Thank you so much for joining us again this morning, and for being part of the show all this year. I wish you a Merry Christmas, Phil.
Yeah, thank you. And to all the listeners, have a great Christmas. I hope it's time to rest after all of the hard work of the year. Spend time with your friends and family. Have a very merry, joyful, peaceful and safe Christmas.
Well, Auckland the shit out of it, eh? What do you reckon?
Thanks very much,
Phil. I'm spending
the whole of the Christmas in Auckland. Great city to be
in. Best city in the world. All right, we'll speak to you in the next year. All the best.
Look forward to that, mate. All the best to you and the family and listeners. Cheers.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.